Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Honestly, the economy got a little scary in 2022, and that could continue in 2023. It's okay to admit when money gets stressful, but what if you had an objective, relatable expert to help navigate the financial world? That's where NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast comes in. Smart Money hosts Sean Piles and Sarah Raffner talk with experts from NerdWallet's team of 100 money nerds to help you make smart financial decisions without the stress. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
I don't know if I flew into the danger zone, but I ran into the danger zone and barely escaped with my life. Little Jake Turkey was trying to make me his mate, or he was trying to kill me for taking his photo, one or the other. He was just after my phone. Maybe he needed a new cell phone. You never know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And we've been mixing in NBA and also the suspensions that the NFL dropped on its players who were caught gambling. I just can't believe that you could be so unaware or unintelligent in that moment. I'm not saying they're not smart all the time, but in that moment to bet on gambling while you're at work. For the two guys, Jameson Williams included, who did not bet on NFL games, but did bet at the facilities. Why? Why would you do that when you know that that's the place you can't use online gambling or place bets on various sites, and yet you do it on your phone at the facility? Can't you wait till you get home? Just that blows my mind. But also those players, three players, who are now suspended indefinitely because they placed bets on NFL games. Did you not pay attention to what was happening last year with Calvin Ridley? He was supposed to be the cautionary tale, the guinea pig, if you will. The first guy who got nabbed would be made an example so that no one else would choose the same path. I'm blown away by that. So you've got, I mean, multiple players have already been cut. The Lions have not only cut a couple of players, two that got suspended indefinitely, and what it is for a year. They'll be allowed to apply for reinstatement after a year, similar to Ridley. But you're now away from football and out of football for a year. There's no guarantee you'll ever get back in, number one. Number two, now you've been cut, so you're players without teams anyway. And you knew it. You saw it. It was one of the biggest storylines, non-free agency or trade storylines of last offseason. Whoa. The rules are very clearly spelled out by every league, but here specifically we're talking about the NFL. The fact is that it's maybe not fair, but life is not fair. That's just how it goes. Not only do you all know the rules, they're available and posted everywhere, but you don't get to choose which rules you like and which rules you don't. It's part of being an employee of an NFL team. It's not your concern what the league does or doesn't do or the money it makes by being in cahoots and partnerships with gambling sites, with sports books. That has nothing to do with you as long as you play in the NFL. And here's the thing. These guys make money, right, to play football. Even the veteran minimums are hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why are you gambling? Why? Calvin Ridley said he placed a, what, $1,500 worth of bets? That was it. And it cost him a year's salary, potentially incentives. These guys more than likely are not going to make double their salaries or beyond by placing stupid bets on their phones. So what's the point? Just because? You have the rest of your life to gamble. You have a limited window in which to capitalize on your talents and your skills and your abilities and play in the NFL. And you have a team. You know, the average NFL career doesn't even last four seasons. That's how quickly these jobs turn over. I know we talk about quarterbacks, and a lot of times you've got guys who last much longer at the quarterback position, especially with today's rules. But that's not the norm. The NFL, like every other professional sports league, the NBA is in the same boat. The careers don't, the average career doesn't even last four seasons. So the average player doesn't get the fat free agent contract. You got to capitalize and preserve this opportunity as best you can, because you don't need to give a team much of an excuse or any excuse at all to move on from you. And these guys, well, Jameson Williams excluded, maybe the rest of these guys are not as talented as Calvin Ridley. And he lost his job and had to hook on with another team. So we're asking you, because it is, it's a lot to process, on Twitter or on Facebook, do you care if players gamble? Do you think it's a problem? Honestly, if these players got caught, that makes now six of them total. It stands to reason there are others. Do you think it's a problem that you've got guys who are betting on games? And should the NFL drop the major suspensions? I don't know. It's just a talking points. You can certainly respond and expand the conversation. Mike says on Twitter, the rules are spelled out clearly for every NFL player. If the Players Association wants to change the rules, they could have attempted to do so. They didn't. The players have to follow the rules. The suspensions are appropriate. And then we'll get to some of your other responses on our Facebook page as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We spent the better part of last hour talking about turkeys. Don't ask, just go and listen to the podcast. So we're going to run through what happened in the NBA over the weekend, because there's a lot that's playing out as we get about midway through this first round. There's still potential for some game sevens out there, and that includes what I think is the most appealing series of the playoffs so far, the Kings and the Warriors. And the Warriors had a 10-game lead at home. Game four, trying to even the series, a 10, did I say 10 game? Sorry, 10-point lead at the end of three quarters after Klay Thompson nails a one-footed three-pointer. At the buzzer, Chase Center goes insane. Well, wasn't that long before the Kings had not only erased the lead, but had come back to take the lead for themselves. And so this one was tight down the stretch.
2-point lead for the Dubs. Draymond off the screen, behind the back to Curry. Curry for three. It's up and good. Just picked it off the ground, just straightened up and fired it. Poole with the ball. Right side, Thompson catches, shoots a three. Got it! Big time bucket for Klay Thompson. He hit one to end the third, hits a big one late in the fourth. 3:15 to go, Warriors up five. Curry drives down the lane, goes up over Sabonis and scores. It goes around and down, 108-107. Mitchell on the attack other end. Murray drives in, goes up, shoots it, no good. Tipped out by Draymond to Thompson. Bounce pass to DiVincenzo, over to Curry. Flares out, fires for three. Got it! A Curry flurry, and it's 111-107, timeout Sacramento.
Now that was midway through the fourth quarter-ish, maybe a little bit later into the fourth quarter, and it would not remain a 4-5-point spread, even in the final minute. Why? Because of a major gaffe by Steph Curry himself. Tim Roy with the calls there on the Warriors radio network. 40 seconds to go. The Warriors have a 5-point lead. Steph, in taking the inbounds, is attempting to advance the ball up the court. He's seeing a trap by the Kings, and he's across the court and up against the sideline opposite his bench. So he calls a timeout. Except the Warriors don't have a timeout. And that means a technical foul and the ball gets awarded to the Kings. So not only do they get the free throw, I think it was Malik Monk who took the free throw, but then they end up with a possession. And with about 30 seconds to go, 28 to be exact, De'Aaron Fox nails a deep three. And all of a sudden it is a 1-point game. Steve Kerr says, not on Steph.
100% my fault. I knew we didn't have any timeouts left. We took the challenge, and when the challenge was unsuccessful, as we were exiting the huddle, that's on me. I've got to remind the guys we're out of timeouts. I didn't say that, and so Steph wasn't aware. So that's on me for not making that clear. And then on that play, we had all four of the other guys running to the other end, and they hit Steph in the backcourt. We didn't have a trail man, so we got to handle the pressure better. Late game, take care of the ball. But the timeout is 100% on me.
I knew we challenged, but I didn't realize when we lost the challenge that we didn't have any timeouts left. I know Coach mentioned he took the blame for it. As I ain't gonna lie, I thought it was the smartest play in the world. When I got the ball, turned around, saw a trap, realized there was no real outlets. Instead of turning it over, it's kind of the heady play, but it turned out not to be. I looked over at the bench and everybody was shaking their head. So it was an unfortunate situation in that respect, but good learning lesson. Thankfully, we came away with the win, but good learning lesson on how important all those details are. We know it, but knowing timeouts, knowing the situation, it was just an unfortunate sequence right there.
So how about this then? The Warriors don't score the final 40 seconds. So once they give the ball up to the Kings, they never score again. So he calls the faux timeout, the phantom timeout. They're sitting at 126-121 at that point. They don't score again. They do get one more shot. Steph misses a runner in the lane. Kings then get the rebound and have time to burn, time on their hands. Warriors got to play defense with that crowd in front of them.
Fox dribbles at the logo, spins on, runs into Draymond, pass over to Barnes. Barnes for three, no good, buzzer sound, the Warriors escape with a win. Final score, Golden State 126, Sacramento 125.
I was nervous. I'm really happy Harrison missed it, still my guy, but I was hoping he missed it really badly, and sometimes you need a break like that this point in the year, and it was just a gutsy win and a big defensive stop.
So Klay Thompson loves Harrison Barnes because they used to be teammates. However, that three that went up, it was a gut check moment, a little bit of a until it banged off the back of the rim. Tim Roy again on Warriors Radio. Now, here's the interesting thing. Draymond Green's coming off his suspension. He actually went to the coaching staff and said, I think I should come off the bench in game number 4. We'll hear about that here in a second. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? So he comes off the bench. He spurs the second unit. He nearly has a triple-double, though he did not shoot well. Gosh, I think I lost count at 6 layups. He missed so many layups. Can you imagine if he had made those layups? This wouldn't even have been a close game. But he missed a bunch of layups. Actually, I'm watching the fourth quarter right now. It's on TV being replayed. He's the one who is there with the help defense on De'Aaron Fox. In those late seconds, Steph funnels him into Draymond's help defense, and Fox is smothered. He has no room to get a shot off, realizes the time is running down, and so fires the ball to Barnes, who does have a look. Now, Steph, I think it was Steph, went flying at him and got a hand up, but Barnes had already released the shot and also has like 6 inches on Steph Curry. So the Warriors, after that faux timeout, never score again and have to wait and watch for a few precious seconds while that ball is in the air when Harrison Barnes misses it at the buzzer. So the series is back to 2-2. Warriors protect their home court, and yeah, leave it to Draymond Green and the Warriors to turn his suspension into a learning experience, into a positive for them when he returns.
When I watch basketball, I'm studying, and I study the game, and I saw what was working, you know, and we won, you know, so I'm a firm believer in if something isn't broke, you don't fix it. And, you know, our offense was rolling. We played good defensively, really good defensively. So I didn't want to come back and just shake things up because I'm back. Like, that's not right. Jordan went out there. He played well. We played well. He earned it. And, you know, our team earned that. You know, you don't – there's a lot of – there's a lot of guys who, you know, I mean, 11 years in, you start to feel a sense of entitlement, you know, like that spot's yours and starting is yours. And I never want to reach that point in my career where I feel entitled to something. Those guys don't fare well in the end. So just wanted to do what I thought was best for this team, and it was good for us.
He hadn't come off the bench in 10 years since before I was coaching. But he came to me after immediately after game three. He drove back to the arena. I was in my office, and he walked in, and he said, "What do you think about me coming off the bench?" And I had been thinking about it already because of the way Sacramento was guarding us and, you know, just getting another shooter on the floor. And so we always collaborate, you know, the decisions we make are collaborative with our key players. And so that was a collaboration, but Draymond offered it. And this is how we've approached a lot of playoff games.
Works for the Warriors, but I still have my doubts about how they play on the road. If there ever was a time when the defensive intensity needed to be ratcheted up, it's game number 5. They have stunk away from home. They've only won 11 games all year away from Chase Center. And a few of those were in the last week when they were trying to stay out of the play-in tournament. The issue has been their defense. Why? To me, defense travels. You're a championship team with championship pedigree. Why? But the test will come in game number 5. The number of moments down the stretch where the Kings kind of biffed on what was a critical possession, bunch of turnovers. Now, the Warriors also have turnovers. We know that, to be sure. They play fast and loose sometimes with the basketball. But it did seem like the lack of playoff experience maybe came back to bite the Kings in the late stages.
We made some timely mistakes, especially in the fourth quarter. We gapped, and this is where our playoff inexperience comes into play. Because you can't rest out there, or you can't think that you can play something a certain way and the champions aren't going to make you pay the price. But one time we gapped versus Steph and he hit a three, which was huge. Another time we gapped versus Clay and he hit a three, which is huge. And, you know, you might think, it's just one possession. Well, those 6 points right there, not doing what we're supposed to do, again, you know, that shows our playoff inexperience.
Mike Brown, of course, coming off of that staff last year that won the title with the Warriors, and he knew he had the job for a month but chose to stay with Golden State and obviously has learned how to build that foundation. Let's see. That was the Western Conference series that is now even between Sacramento and Golden State. In the other West series, the Minnesota Timberwolves are up 12 with a couple minutes to go, give up 12 consecutive points to the Nuggets. They go into overtime, though. Anthony Edwards has a huge game, and they're able to extend their playoff lives. It bothers me that we've got a couple of teams that were supposed to build on last year's playoff experience that have not done so. And in the case of the Minnesota Timberwolves, they made some major moves to become a championship contender and have not been able to do it. What about the Memphis Grizzlies? Same story. I talked to Matt Moore, who's in Denver, actually, and does not just the Locked On Nuggets podcast, but also nationally has a podcast as well as written columns for the Action Network. If you missed that conversation, we talked about why the Cavaliers, why the Grizzlies, and why the, in this case, the Minnesota Timberwolves have failed to capitalize on some of the big moves they've made, at least to this point. Now, the series aren't over yet, but to this point, they have been disappointments at this stage in the first round. So make sure you check that out on our podcast. But yeah, big game for Anthony Edwards with 34 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals, and a partridge in a pear tree. We want to get back to some of the action from Saturday as well, because the Grizzlies, gosh, 45 points wasted from Ja Morant. He returns 45 points that are wasted. Also, the Sixers have a lot of concerns about Joel Embiid in the second round, even though they have advanced. And then you've got an injury for the Miami Heat that might also impact them, same series. So we're sorting through the weekend headlines from the NBA and also asking you how you feel about NFL players gambling and whether or not the NFL should cease and desist with these suspensions, or are they...
Hey, football fans, Baldy here, and I'm doing something special for this year's NFL Draft. Jason Lock and Four and I are hosting the 2023 Odyssey NFL Draft Show. Join us on the first night of the draft, talking with our local experts from across the Odyssey podcast throughout the country. And leading up to the draft, check out our podcast, In the Huddle. I'm giving you an inside scoop on the best prospects for your favorite team. And it all starts Thursday, April 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern until the first round ends, only on the free Odyssey app.
If you are leading change, building a team, or implementing new procedures, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Organizational Leadership gives you the tools for success. With concentrations in change, global, and servant leadership, you'll get the most relevant training and education to help you tackle any challenge. Visit gonzaga.edu/leader and find out how Gonzaga's organizational leadership degree can affect positive change in your life and career. That's gonzaga.edu/leader.
Necessary. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rebound, Paul Reed. Back out to Melton. 3-point shot is up. It's good. De'Anthony Melton has come up with another three. Paul Reed sets up a second chance, and the Sixers by 7 with 6:15 to go. The 76ers lead 89-78. Tobias catch and shoot. It's good. The Sixers are going to beat the Brooklyn Nets. Tobias Harris hitting a three and a 14-point lead with 96 seconds to go. And the 76ers defeat the Brooklyn Nets in game 4 in come-from-behind fashion, 96-88, and they're moving on.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Sixers become the first team to advance to the second round, which is essentially their nemesis, and could be headed for another date with the Boston Celtics, but that's down the road a bit. Major question mark, though, surrounding their MVP candidate. As you hear Tom McGinnis on the Sixers radio network from the weekend, it's actually their first sweep of a 7-game series since 1985. So there's something if you're looking for an indication that this team is maybe a little more dangerous or a little more prepared than what they were in the past. Okay, except if they don't have Joel Embiid, how scary and how dangerous and how confident can they even be? Or how confident are we in them? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Doc Rivers being asked, of course, about Joel Embiid's status for the second round, even as they have a couple of days to wait, watch, root for the Atlanta Hawks to extend the series against the Celtics, which they are now on the ropes 3-1. But Embiid's dealing with the right knee soreness, did not play in their final game against the Nets. So what gives, Doc? What are we talking about for the second round?
I just don't know. I would say right now, it's probably the same percentage that I said before the game. Probably 50% at best.
That's scary. That's scary. And I get it. It would be a built-in reason / excuse. If they don't have Joel Embiid, they're not the same team. Duh. It's like Giannis right now not being part of the Bucks. And they're actually trailing the Miami Heat as they face game four coming up tonight. But it ultimately wouldn't be this. It wouldn't be this. This super explanation of why they couldn't get through it. It would just be another second round exit, right? It wouldn't matter. At some point, every team deals with injuries. And so if the Sixers don't have Joel Embiid and they go into a second round against the Celtics, well, too bad, so sad. Nobody's crying for you. And it would just be another reason, another way, maybe a unique and creative way that the Sixers ran into that glass ceiling once again in the second round. Because 5 years down the road, it's just going to be part of the streak. Or it would be part of the streak. I'm not predicting anything. But if they don't have Joel Embiid, they're not the same team. Even though Tobias Harris has been a great option, James Harden can score when he's on, if he doesn't take 53s in one game. Or I'm actually on his side when it comes to the flagrant too. I thought that was dumb. But we know they've had multiple options. We certainly have seen Tyrese Maxey step up in a major way. So yeah, they've got other guys who can score, but so do the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, now maskless, 31 points. Jason Tatum actually had an off shooting night Sunday, 31 points.
His name is Jason Taylor.
It was just Jason Taylor who was going to hit all those threes. Marcus Smart, when he gets going, he had a big three, landed on his butt. Oh, good thing the turkey wasn't chasing him. Landed on his butt at the end of the third quarter, I believe it was, and hit a three. Just a reminder that not only is he the best defender, he's a guy who is hard-nosed, runs the show. He's really the glue guy for the Celtics, but he can score too. The Celtics have as many options as the Sixers do. And without their MVP, oh, even more of an uphill climb. But according to Doc Rivers, former Celtics championship coach, this is a knee sprain, happened earlier in the series. And right now he's 50%. At best. Yikes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Milwaukee Bucks, again, same thing. They're in a similar boat. The fact that they don't have Giannis, we've been strung along. They're leading us on. You know that, right? The Bucks are leading us on. They keep saying he's day-to-day, he's close. Oh, so close. Likely going to be available. We're likely going to see him. Nah.
We met our end.
Don't believe anything you hear from Mike Budenholzer these days. Of course, I can imagine it behooves them to keep all the information close to the vest. But without Giannis, even in this first round series, right now the Bucks are struggling. And I don't know what happens to them because they've got options too. Chris Middleton, not playing well right now. Jrue Holiday can be lights out. Without Giannis, their glue, they're not nearly as good. They can be, but they're inconsistent without him. Now, are they potentially helped in this series by the fact that Victor Oladipo tore his patellar tendon? I hate this for him and his left knee. He's out the rest of the way. That goes back to game number three. And you could tell by his reaction in the moment, too, that it was serious. Right, so he'd been averaging double figures. Also, the Heat can't afford to lose any scoring. You want to talk about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I can't figure out who they are half the time. And that goes back all the way through the regular season. Jimmy Butler's dealing with injuries. The latest is a bruised butt cheek. Well, okay, bruised glute it would be the proper term. Tyler Hero's out already. He's got the broken hand. Okay, so you've got multiple players, key players, veteran players from Miami that are not available, but none as critical as Giannis. And so we haven't seen him yet since the opener when he fell on his back, and he's still dealing with that back soreness. And the Bucks are just, it's like fingers and toes crossed right now. They're hoping for the best. Hope, not a strategy. And so that's what we have coming up later on tonight. Just two games on this Monday. We'll see whether or not Giannis returns for the Milwaukee Bucks, but they're in Miami, already trailing 2-1. And then Memphis, we're going to get to you next. Will you have Dylan Brooks? We're waiting to hear from the NBA, but also considering how he played in game number 3, maybe he's a liability. Did LeBron take the bait? That is the question.
I pulled bears.
I don't care. He's old.
Just, I don't care. He's old.
Got to be one of my favorite lines ever dropped. Now, what's that Twitter handle? Tweets that don't age well. No, it's like old takes exposed.
Yeah.
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 Dylan Brooks on blast. I don't care. He's old. Did you see the way that the Lakers started game number 3?
I don't care. He's old.
You know what's old is you believing that saying that about LeBron James wouldn't actually incite any type of a reaction, though, of course, he's going to play it off.
Like, I don't care. He's old.
Uh-huh. I got you. I got you.
Get the ball popping.
My gosh. All right. So we'll get to that coming up next. Also, what do you think? 5 players suspended for gambling violations. The NFL has been investigating for the past month. On the heels of Calvin Ridley, how either unaware or unsmart do you have to be? I'm blown away by this. I really am. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. I haven't yet posted the photo of the turkey. I will. I will. But also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hands it to LeBron. LeBron with Xavier Tillman on him. LeBron turns the corner. Step back. 17-footer. Good again. 6-0 Lakers. They're a perfect 3-for-3 from the field. Here's D'Angelo Russell. Kicks it right side. Hachimura for 3. Good again. This kid can't miss. It's 29-9.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All hands on deck for the Los Angeles Lakers. My goodness, they were up by what felt like 50 in the first quarter of their game on Saturday against the Grizzlies. And while it's not like LeBron James did in fact drop 40, isn't that what Dylan Brooks told us? It's clear that the team was motivated. And then Dylan Brooks maybe gotten himself into a little more hot water. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we've had a plethora of flagrant fouls now. It's like open season on flagrant fouls in these NBA playoffs. And Dylan Brooks kind of pushes back at that. You know what? It's funny because he and Draymond Green are very similar, although Draymond's much more skilled and obviously far more accomplished than Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks might want to be Draymond Green. He is building the same rep and the same rap sheet as Draymond, to be sure. But he... And what's with the groin shots, too? He delivers a shot to the groin of LeBron James. He says it was an accident. Is he trying to steal the ball? I say the same thing I said to you late last week. Body parts, even parts that you wouldn't normally think would be in play in a basketball game, they get hit. That's just what happened.
LeBron on his hands and knees.
I used to get popped in the chest all the time. We would have shots to, you know, midsections and that type of thing. It just happens in a contact sport. It doesn't always have to be on purpose. But like James Harden, who's kind of trying to create space and gets, I even forgot who it was that he popped in the groin. Oh, yes. Thank you. So Royce O'Neal gets popped in the groin by James Harden. James gets a flagrant 2, gets ejected. Now Dylan Brooks also pops an opponent in the groin. In this case, LeBron. Hint, hint, wink, wink. It was just totally an accident. And then he gets a flagrant 2. But he kind of feels like he's being made out to be a villain, and he's not actually facing a suspension, which, let's just be fair, if James Harden doesn't get suspended, neither should Dylan Brooks. I mean, these two situations were relatively similar in that I think the contact was incidental. But the league does review all flagrant fouls, and Dylan Brooks appears to be in the clear. John Ireland on Lakers Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so what we most care about is the LeBron reaction to Dylan Brooks saying, "I don't care, he's old."
I don't care, he's old.
Do we have the whole quote, the whole soundbite from post game number two? What?
From Dylan, you mean?
Yes, from Dylan Brooks.
There are some people, Lakers are making that run.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
When they get it to 14, you and LeBron have that exchange. There are people out there that say, maybe you shouldn't do that with one of the better players in the game. What were you thinking?
I don't care. He's old. You know what I mean? I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game four, game five. He wanted to say something when I got my fourth foul. You know, I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40.
Okay. Now, he and LeBron have been jawing, or Dylan's been doing most of the jawing. That's really his biggest weapon against LeBron James, because he's obviously not as skilled as LeBron. Even on a bad day for LeBron James, he still is averaging 25 points, 11 rebounds, 4-plus assists in the series, while Dylan's been so busy trying to guard LeBron when it's his assignment that he's struggled offensively. I mean, he's a mess right now offensively. And clearly in game number three, there was almost nothing to support Ja Morant with his 45. And so Dylan did not play well in game number three. Now LeBron didn't drop 40, but Dylan did not play well. Because we hadn't heard from LeBron after the "I don't care, he's old," and the "I don't respect him until he drops 40, that's exactly where everyone wanted to go following game number three, in which the Lakers were on cruise control after the first quarter.
I mean, just focusing on the game plan. And it's a lot of time. It's a lot of game to be played when that incident happened. So, you know, just trying to get up, protect my crown jewels, and move on to the next play, you know. And I was able to go up. I think I knocked one out of two free throws, or maybe both. I don't remember.
He's a consummate professional. You know, he doesn't get caught up in the war of words. He just goes out and speaks with his actions, speaks with his play, his leadership with the group. Has been, you know, it's not like he's not saying nothing to you guys and then talking to us. Like, he's just been focused throughout, and that's the way we need him to be.
I mean, that's boring. I wanted a little talk back. Remember when LeBron said, "I have the highest basketball IQ"? I don't know. I like it better when he talks, not smack, but when he tries to pretend like the extremely arrogant comments he makes are not, in fact, meant to be arrogant. They're just meant to be matter of fact. I have an extremely high basketball IQ. Something along those lines. Remember when he called?
I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world.
Well, that too. Remember when he just recently called the foot doctor who helped him to get back on the floor the LeBron James of feet? Oh, okay.
I have a huge basketball IQ.
There we go. I have a huge basketball IQ. These are the types of things that LeBron will say, and you know that it's his subtle way of delivering a shot, or, and a lot of times it's because he feels like the media asks a stupid question, and so he will say these types of things, like as in, duh, you know, duh, the best basketball player in the world, duh. But I really wanted to get more from him, just because you know he's thinking it. He's just refusing to take the bait, of course, because he doesn't want to do what everyone else wants him to do.
I'm sorry.
He only, I'm using my air quotations, had 25 in game number three. He was 0-for from downtown, but he actually shot 50%. Also had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block shot. And there was this pretty sweet reverse slam dunk as well, in case you were keeping score at home. But mostly, I'm sure he's tickled pink that Dylan Brooks got tossed for making contact with the crown jewels. Oh, haha, the king with the crown jewels. Right. And Brooks only shot 3 of 13. He was abysmal from beyond the arc. He was just really abysmal in the whole game till he got tossed. So if that's what you're looking for, the answer back came in the form of a win.
That's what real men do.
They let their play and their crown jewels do the talking. Also, 26-point deficit in the first quarter. I read something along the lines of that's the most ever in a playoff game or blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Dylan Brooks, you did this. You did this. And then you dared make contact with the crown jewels.
I don't care. He's old.
Well, I mean, his crown jewels are still working, I guess. It's after hours.
Protect my my crown jewels.
All right. Was that a question? It sounded like a question, actually.
My crown jewels?
I got those right.
It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. We've also got the Suns, who have a resurgent Chris Paul. The concern about the Suns, even as they take advantage of what is a reduced and I would say reluctant Los Angeles Clippers lineup now, they are playing heavy minutes with their starters. Another topic that I brought up with Matt Moore of the Action Network, he's an 11-year guest here on the show, so feel free to check that out on the podcast After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, we're asking you about the Lions and not just the players that gambled, a couple of them on football who've been suspended for a year at least, but indefinitely. But how about the fact that they also had to dismiss multiple staff members who were gambling on team property? Jameson Williams in that same boat gets suspended 6 games. I don't understand how you can miss that. And why can't you wait until you get home? What's the big, fat, hairy deal that you have to gamble while you're on your work property? But not all of you agree that the players need to be suspended. Larry says on Facebook, the NFL is being hypocritical. Once they took these gambling sites on as sponsors, they opened the door. Now, Hans says they should be suspended for sure. 2 problems. 1, players are risk takers by nature, so gambling appeals to them. Hans is a psychiatrist. 2, it's too easy to gamble today. You used to have to go to Vegas or Atlantic City or call a bookie. You didn't need to use your apps on your phones. Eric says, I don't see a problem if they're not betting on NFL games. Leon says it's just dumb. The rules are there for a reason. John says it's a tough one. No way they should be able to bet on football. Betting on other sports, I don't see why they can't do that. They're just regular people. Well, no, they're not regular people. They're employed by NFL franchises, which means that they got to abide by the league rules. Now, I understand that the league is walking a fine line here. Every league is, because yes, they want the gambling money. They want the sponsorships. They want the partnerships. But they also want to preserve integrity. They do not want there to be any appearance that there could be players who are throwing games, that there could be any type of nefarious activity going on that might compromise their actual wins and losses and their outcomes.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.